Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fernand here. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. If you are watching, you see this picture behind me. You know who we're talking about. That's Elijah Stone from The Rookie. We're also talking about all the other great projects that he's been a part of. I mean, Snowfall, Everything's Trash, Turner and Hooch, Firefly Lane. I mean, the list goes on and on. Ransom, Brandon J. McLaren, thank you for your time. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate your time.
Yes. Well, when your character was introduced on this show, I was like, I've seen this person before. You know that moment where you're watching something and it just becomes very meta and you're like, I gotta dig a little deeper. So we go into IMDb Pro and we start looking. I was like, okay, we have to see about getting him on the show because this character that you're currently playing is something else. So we'll start out with that. You came on to the show, you get introduced into, I think perhaps maybe, I don't think it's a bottle episode, but you become very involved with a couple of the main characters doing a favor for Mr. Ashmore's character. And now you're popping up in multiple episodes. When you first get presented with this character, did you know that it was going to continue on with such a massive story arc? Or was it just that typical situation where it's a couple episodes and now it's turned into like a massive reoccurring character on the show?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this was kind of a funny story. I just got offered that part. I didn't have to audition.
Okay, so wow.
I got a call from my agent, and this doesn't happen a lot.
Very rarely at all, ever.
Yeah, he's like, so hey, I just got a straight offer for you on The Rookie. It's two episodes for now. What do you think? And I was like, great, sure. It's a popular show. I think it was like episode 401 and 402, the first two episodes of the first of the fourth season. So I was like, fine. So I actually, so he's like, great. I'll, we'll get the deal done. Let's move forward. So I actually didn't get the script or any information about the part until I already accepted it. So I already accepted it. And then I got the script and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you know, I figured it was like, you know, something on The Rookie. It's like you play like, you know, somebody's getting interrogated or, you know, a typical procedural type of guest star, two episodes. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. What's different about that, though, is that when you don't audition, like, they haven't seen my idea of this character. Okay. Nobody signed off on it on their end. I kind of showed up on my first day, and I only had the one day in that first episode. It was the scene with me and Sean at the end. And I was like, it was kind of nerve-wracking because normally, like, everybody signs off on you. So you go onto a new set and you have the confidence that they cast you because of
the audition. Right. You kind of already know what the character's going to be, how they want you to play it, the nuances.
Exactly. And like, everybody signed off on it, and that's why you got cast. And so this was the opposite. So I kind of like read this script and I showed up and I had this voice and I kind of just did this thing. And I remember in the back of my mind, I was like, man, I hope they like this. Because like, there's definitely a version where they're like, dude, what the hell is, like, what are you doing? Like,
what's up with that voice that you do? Yeah, that, like, yeah, kind of nuanced, the body language. Yeah. Like, in this picture here, you can see it. It's very, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's very just, you know, nuanced.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of gravitas behind all of it. And I think that's what makes the character so interesting, is because you don't really know where they're going to land. You want to root for him in some ways recently because of what we've seen. But then you also know this is a very arduous relationship that is now expanded into the Fed universe and this universe too.
So it was really cool. So I did the first two episodes and they brought me back, I think, for four more. But I just got cast in Snowfall, I think, after my second episode.
Okay.
And so there started to be scheduling conflicts. And so I think after I did, I think I did six in season four. I think they were just like, listen, like, you know, go and do Snowfall, you know, because they were shooting at the same time. And I didn't know I was going to be back in season five until much later. And then I got a call again, like, oh, like, they're going to have you back. And then it turned into this whole thing, and it's been really great. Alexi, the creator, has been really, really fantastic in terms of just, like, really fleshing out this character that could have just been a sort of, like, a nominal character, but kind of turned into something. And hopefully, you know, you'll see him more in season six. I don't know anything yet, but it was quite the cliffhanger.
Yeah, that was definitely, I mean, obviously, you just never know, but it doesn't seem from the outside perspective that this story is over, because clearly, and people will have seen the show when this airs, but your character is very much alive. The part that I found interesting was your cellmate across the hallway, who has also been in this series in different ways, shapes, and forms.
Right.
Which I think is what makes it interesting, is now you've got two people who are reasonably troubled people, or maybe just, you know, bad childhood, the classic example, you know, their mothers would say that they're the best kid on the planet. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. So that's very cool that how that worked out, because as you said, that's not something that happens regularly in this business, especially, I mean, to get an offer maybe, but then to just kind of go sight unseen. I think it's a testament to your ability as an actor, obviously, because I'm assuming they had seen your work on other stuff before.
I would assume so. And I think the casting director had cast me in a couple of other things, but never a character like this. And I don't know if I've ever really played a character like this, which was awesome. And it's a lot of fun. And I really enjoy it, because, you know, sort of outside, like, my personality as a human.
Clearly.
So it's cool, man. Yeah, I'm having a great time. I love working on the show. I love the cast. I love all the people in charge. It's great.
Yeah, we've had a couple other cast members on throughout the last couple years.
Okay.
You know, it's always fun to talk to people from these procedural shows, because obviously you're not like this person, but you are able to somehow find your way into a character like this. So who is Elijah Stone? Like, what, obviously you didn't know much, you get given information later, but now that you've played him for multiple seasons and you've had several episodes, like, who is he as a person myopically? Like, how would you describe him? Whether it's been presented to you or just a story, a backstory you've created in your head as you play this character so well.
I mean, my feeling is that Elijah is one of those people who feels that they've always sort of gotten, like, glossed over.
Right.
You know? So he has this sort of deep desire to, like, be heard, you know? Like, he feels like he's never been heard in his life. And I feel like now he has a little bit of power. He's just very, he just wants to make sure that nobody passes him over. I think that's really, really important to him. You know what I mean? And I think he really gets off on being the smartest guy in the room, you know, and he uses it for nefarious reasons. I was always like, there's a version, me and Sean were talking about, there's a version where, like, we could be probably great friends if, like, we made one or two different choices. Our characters would probably
Get you guys would
really
be hanging out. You would be doing family barbecues instead of shooting up someone's home.
Yeah, but you know, he made one or two different choices, and I feel like, you know, he's just a guy that wants to be heard and seen. And I think that manifests itself in like super, you know, destructive ways, obviously.
Yeah, it's almost like the middle kid syndrome, where it's like, yeah, you know, you have two bookends of children, the oldest who might get attention, the youngest who really wants the attention. And then like the middle child who's like, well, you seem to be operating just fine, so we're going to put you on autopilot while we deal with the other two. And initially in those first couple episodes where you and Sean meet, it's almost like he's coming to you. I don't remember the specific circumstances. Somebody, his wife at the time, I think, was in
his
Mexico.
Wife.
Yeah. And yeah, so
he
you were
some intel on his wife.
I don't even remember specifically. I apologize. It's been so long. Like the reasons why he comes to you, I think it's there's a connection of a connection, and you just happen to know how to get her out. And then now all of a sudden, it's no longer a quid pro quo, but more of just like, now you owe me and indefinitely. And even we find out later when that debt is allegedly paid, there's still this ongoing type of relationship that you two have. It's just nuanced so well. And I think Brent Huff, who plays Smitty, I don't think you've shared scenes with him maybe once or twice, no, but he's been on the show several times. We just love The Rookie. It's so good. And the pilot, the embedded episodes where we now got the feds, and who knows? We'll see. Well, let's talk about Snowfall. That's another great show. Sure. I mean, that show has just really reached a very interesting audience, and it's a very cool story. How did that come about for you? Was that was an audition, I'm assuming? Or
that was an audition. That was an audition as well. And I had already done two episodes of The Rookie, and this audition came up, and it was a really cool part. I think I did eight out of 10 episodes in the
Yeah, you were in eight
five.
That I counted and watched.
Yeah, yeah, I did eight. Yeah. And it was a thing where I remember I auditioned for it, and you know, I heard about it really quick after. And then they asked if I could cut my hair, and I'd already been established on The Rookie.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, I can't, like, because, you know, I've already been established, and I think they want me for a few more. And so, like, they were incredible, because a lot of times, you know, casting or TV shows, okay, we'll move on to the next guy.
Who else do we have? Who's next on
right.
the list
yeah.
that will cut
and they
their
were
hair?
Like, yeah, they're or just they don't have dreads, you know, just like it's a simple fix. And they were like, they were so great. And I'm like I said, I'm so grateful to everybody, Dave Andron. They were like, okay, well, we'll just wig them. And I was like, are you kidding me? And like, it was awesome, man, because that was also like another opportunity to like transform into something that's completely outside of myself in terms of look and just the character. Obviously it takes place, I think our season is 1986. So there's like a period component to it.
Yeah.
So it was great, man. And I was like, I was doing both of the shows at the same time for a while. And it was just a really cool opportunity where you get to really sort of play characters that are really outside yourself on television, both at the same time. It was a crazy year, but it was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's a dream to be that busy with so many projects. Well, I tell you what, again, I have been a fan and watched a lot of your projects. And then, like I mentioned earlier, when I saw you come on The Rookie, I was like, okay, and I'd worked with your team before on other talent. And so I was like, I really hope he's available, because I know those shooting schedules can be absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the journey begin for you as an actor and storyteller? Like, what was it that interested you into the business? A lot of people say you're just drawn to it. Was there a moment where you knew, hey, this is for me versus like a normal 8-to-5?
Yeah, I think, you know, I had always kind of been involved in, like, even in elementary school, like been involved in like theater, you know. I think like the very first thing I did, I was like in first grade, I like, you know, did the Nutcracker or whatever. Then I started doing commercials when I was in seventh grade. My very first commercial ever was a Honeycomb commercial. It's still on YouTube if you want to go look it up. We all love the taste, Honeycomb. You'll see it. It'll never die, that commercial. And I think that's when I got the bug, when I started to do commercials. And then I had a really great theater program in my high school, which was like student-led. Harvey Ostroff was my 12th grade acting teacher, very instrumental to me in my life. And he was the one who kind of really gave me confidence in terms of the ability to do this as a career and not just a hobby. And so I think that, you know, it started pretty young. And then I went off, I played D1 soccer at the University of Albany. I got a Bachelor of Science in Human Biology. And then it was my junior year where I decided I wanted to kind of revisit acting, and I wanted to give it a real, like, a proper shot at making it my profession. And, you know, graduated, and, you know, the rest is history. I think it's been at this now 21 years.
Wow.
Wild.
Yeah. Great, man. Career. Another project I want to talk about that, I mean, all of them are really good. Unreal. Yeah. That was another show that I remember you from. That was such a different kind of show, and it changed hands, I think, once or twice. It was on for like a season or two, and then it went away, and then it came back on Hulu, mm-hmm. I think, picked it up. How was that experience? That show was wild, and your character, I mean, the whole thing was just, I think, probably art imitating life more than people might realize as far as what goes on. And it was a reality show based on a reality show, essentially, as I think is how you would describe the show. It was crazy, wild ride for sure.
Yeah, I had so much fun on that show. Shiri Appleby, who I worked with a lot, who's now a prolific television director. I just learned so much from her. She's like one of the best actresses I've ever worked opposite of, and I just loved working with her. But it was really cool, man. What was cool about the show is that, like, you know, my character kind of took a dark turn at the end, and I didn't really even know where it was going. It was like episode to episode. And so, you know, there's nothing better than when you're on a show and you can't wait to get the next script, because you just can't wait to see what happens, because you kind of don't know. And Unreal was that show, you know, like every episode, I championed a bit to get to the next episode, because I was like, what's going to happen? And I could never predict it, you know, even being the character, it would always take a twist or a turn that even me being in the show, I couldn't predict. So that was a really, really great experience.
Yes. Talk about that. There was a massive dark turn for sure.
Yeah.
When you don't know how a character is going to be laid out, which I'm assuming, like, most of the time when you're the rookie is a very unique situation, but let's talk about this one. When you don't know from week to week, how do you prepare as an actor? Like, do you just have to be open-minded, ready to take any risk? Because when you get that script that says, okay, you're going to have an entanglement, so to speak, with another character or whatever the case might be, like, how do you get into the space to prepare?
You know, I almost think sometimes it can be better. Like, oftentimes as an actor, like a trap in a scene, for instance, is if you know how the scene ends, and obviously you do because you're playing the scene, there's a tendency to play the end at the beginning.
Okay.
And it's just like an actor tendency that, you know, you have to sort of actively fight against. So when you don't know what's going on from episode to episode, you play the episode for the episode to the moment. You're not like sort of like, you know, like tipping your hand onto what could be. So sometimes it's better if you know too much. You start to layer in things that may not be true in the moment, just subconsciously, because you know what's going to happen 3 or 4 episodes in advance.
Okay.
I don't mind it because you're playing the episode for the episode, and then again you have something to look forward to every week as the actor getting the scripts.
I would imagine too, like, if you're doing scenes that are maybe intensely violent or spicy, whatever, it's like you might get into your head a little bit and go, I don't know if I can even do this, which could probably cause issues down the road when you're actually on set and you have to perform these scenes. But I think, you know, from someone who works a day job and they look at your life and the world that you're in, it's just so markedly different. Like, and I think you have to abandon all, like, everything and just really, it's literally about being in the moment, right? As an actor, and just really, like, responding as honestly as you possibly can.
Yeah. And like giving up a lot of sort of any sort of semblance of control, right? It's like, listen, all I can do is be as prepared as I can be, show up on the day. You might have 4 or 5 times and you put it all out there, and then you're like, all right, well, that's it. Like, can't do nothing about it now. So I mean, just, you know what I mean? Like, I hope it turns out good. It may not, it may have turned out great, but I know that I prepared as hard as I could. And I tried to be as committed to the moment on the day. And then you got to, like, throw it off go take a shower and go to bed and like leave it where it is. And then, you know, you'll find out when it comes out.
Yeah, because especially on episodic television, you know, it usually takes what, a week or so to film an episode. And although you have some freedoms, depending on who guest stars or maybe who the director is, you know, and what instructions they've been given by the showrunners. You know, we had Clayne Crawford on recently who played Riggs.
I've worked with Clayne.
Yeah, I was going to say you guys have worked together in the past, right? I don't remember what show specifically, but
Graceland.
Graceland, yes. That another good show, man.
Yeah.
We could talk to you for hours, my friend. You've just Graceland was another one that just,
it was a good one.
It was on and then it just like ended all of a sudden, you know. Southland, I mean, just Graceland. Yeah, you guys worked together on that. But he was telling me when he first, like, Lethal Weapon was like his really first role that he was ever offered, and really his first true acting job, I guess you could say, as far as being a lead on a show and not having any experience and just being as purely in the moment as you possibly can. And honestly, and it's great when you have the training, but if you're just, some people just kind of get thrown into this world and it's like, it's so intense.
And like I said, on episodic TV, you might, you know, you might get three or four tries at it and then you got to move on, right? Because it moves fast. So you got to show up prepared. I mean, I feel like the most important component of episodic television is just your level of preparedness. There's no time to figure it out on the day. You got to just be prepared and also like be willing to like change stuff on the fly, because like whatever sort of ideas you may have had in your head, it might, you might show up and it might be completely different and you got to be able to adjust and still make it honest. So I think that's sort of like the most important component of being an actor in episodic TV.
Or if a writer or writers get ideas the day of and they're like handing you sides and go, you're one of those actors, you're walking around and you're just reading lines trying to rememorize the way scenes. I did some background work years ago on In Plain Sight and a few other shows in New Mexico, and I just remember the energy on the set. You can just cut it with a knife because it's so intense. And if you don't want to be the actor to forget your lines ever,
no, because it also impacts everybody else's job, right? It impacts the people, the crew's job, who have to be there every second of every day for how many months. It impacts, you know, the actors, your opposite, acting opposite. So you, like, I think that's like Agent Zero has come in completely prepared. I think that's super, super important.
I love it. Well, one last question, my friend, you've done so many different things. You've had a lot of influences in your life. Is there one person or one piece of advice, or maybe not, maybe something that a parent told you that really like stuck with you and has sustained you through this wild and chaotic career as a storyteller, because you've played just a facet of so many different characters?
You know what? Something just came to me as you were saying that. I did a movie called She's the Man many moons ago. And I remember Andy Fickman, who has gone on to direct many, many of blockbuster movies. He gathered us all around one day. We had a pretty young cast. And he was like, listen, guys, I'm going to shoot way more film than I'm ever gonna use. So he's like, every day you show up to set, give me a reason to cut to you. And I never forgot that, because he's like, there's gonna be way more things on the floor. So he's like, every time you show up, give me a reason to cut to you. And so I try to, I've taken that through my entire career, because it's true. You know, you gotta show up with an idea and give the director and the editor a reason to cut back to you. And so, as opposed to being, you know, put on the cutting room floor,
you're like, man, I remember saying way more and doing way more, and then it reminds
me. That happens all the time.
There was a show, I think it was on, I'm sorry, I'm digressing here, on HBO years ago. I think it was a followed three actors throughout their career, and Brian Greenberg was on the show and he got cast in an episode of Smallville, and he gathered all his friends and family around. It was like a mockumentary type show. I mean, obviously they were all real actors, but it was kind of following what their career, Greenlight, I think it was called. And like, he filmed all these big scenes and it all got cut. And he found out like the day before the episode was supposed to air, and all his friends and family showed up to see him on his show.
It happens, man. It happens.
And that was the reason why, is because the director was like, this guy was great, but not dynamic enough for me to keep him in the episode, which is crazy to even think about. I mean, you're obviously getting paid for the work, but it's like,
but still, yeah, it happens.
You have to really be on your game, right? This is like do or die.
Yeah, 100%, you know, because there's, like I said, they shoot a lot more than they need. So there's always a way to cut around you if you don't make him a reason not to.
You got
to
have the Elijah Stone mentality, right? You gotta just... Well, congratulations, exactly. My friend. I'm so glad we were able to make this happen. I know you're busy working on things. Thanks to your team. It's been fun watching you on this. I can't wait to see what's next on this episode or this show, The Rookie, and other things you're doing. Brandon, thanks for hanging out. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks for your time, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely.